136th Psalm, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divideth the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote the great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we are so thankful for the Bible, the Word of God. We're so thankful, Lord, for the truth that has been driven home over and over and over in this chapter of Your Word, that Your mercy does endure forever. We want to thank You for all that You've done for us and the salvation You provided for us through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord, His shed blood. We realize, Lord, that we could do nothing tonight without Him. And Lord, we certainly need Your help, Your power, Your wisdom, and ask You to use us tonight to honor You, and Lord, to see to it that this place always remains a place that is thankful to God for His goodness and His wonderful mercy upon us. Thank You tonight. Lord, bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do things just a little bit different tonight. I'm going to preach to you for a little while, and usually on Thanksgiving Eve services, we have a testimony meeting. And I'm going to reverse it tonight. Usually I have it first and have the preaching, but we're going to preach a while, and then we're going to have a testimony meeting. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful time to thank God for His wonderful goodness. I don't think Thanksgiving ought to be the only time we do that. I believe we ought to do that at all times. And I'm sure that we practice that. We should practice that. But Thanksgiving is a great opportunity to remember some of the wonderful goodnesses of God Almighty. And tonight we want to do that. We want to take the scripture here in Psalms 136 and try to help us to be reminded of the fact that His mercy does endure forever. He's a wonderful, good, precious Savior. He's a great God. And we ought to always recognize that and remember that. Not a one of us here tonight would be here in the condition we are without Him. Thank God for His mercy and salvation. Thank God for all He's done for you and I. Blessed Hope Baptist Church could stand and testify for hours and upon hours for the goodness of God to this church. And I certainly as pastor thank God for His goodness here at this church. Chapter 35, 135, and chapter 136, both is our psalms that call us to remembrance on the goodness of God and all that God has done. In Psalms 135, He tells us to praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. we are reminded of the greatness and the wonderful goodness of the name of God Almighty. He tells us in that verse to praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. He's telling every servant of God to praise Him. Praise His name. And then in verse number 2, if you'll notice, he says, He that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. It's not enough for individually for us to praise God, but we ought to call all of us together and praise God. The whole congregation ought to be called together and have a heart of praise and thanksgiving for to the Lord for all that he has done. So in Psalm 136, we're going to go down through there and remind ourselves of some things that God reminded Israel of. Some good, wonderful things that God had done for Israel. And so we're going to be reminded of them, and I want you to take those things and kind of use an application, not just what is done for Israel, but what has been done for you personally. It's a wonderful thing to remind ourselves of what God has done. But through the reminding of what God said here to Israel, certainly we can be reminded of what God has truly done for us. So He calls us to consider His name first of all, and then He calls us to do that which is right for us to do, and that is to give thanks unto God. That's a duty of every Christian. To give thanks unto our wonderful God. That ought to be constantly in our hearts, but it is our duty to do so. He is a great, He's a wonderful God, and we ought to give thanks unto Him. In fact, He gives us two reasons at the beginning of this psalm why we ought to be thankful. First of all, He says, gives thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And you've heard your pastor say it, I'm sure you've said it, but there's no doubt whatsoever about God being good. There's never a time when God is not good. In the troubled times, the hard times, the difficult times, God is good. There is never a time when He is not good. And so He's telling us to give thanks for His goodness. He also, of course, in that same verse of Scripture, which He does in every verse in this chapter, He says, for His mercy endureth forever. We're not only to thank God for His goodness, but for His mercy, that does endure forever. I think about that, and I think of the fact that if His mercy endures forever, then He endures forever. He's a forever God. He's the eternal God. And then I think about if His mercy endures forever, then those who whom He extends mercy to endures forever. I like that too, because that means I'm going to endure forever. So we have a God that in His mercy endures forever. He certainly has shown mercy unto us and to us, each one of us individually. So He's a eternal God, and He's showing mercy to an eternal people. Those who are born into the family of God through Jesus Christ. So he's a wonderful, wonderful God, and He's telling us to contemplate that, to think about that. Think about His holy name. Think about His goodness. Think about His wonderful mercy that He gives unto us. And then He tells us in verse 2, He says, Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. God is not saying there that there is other gods. He's saying that men think there's other gods. But if they think they are gods or they think there is other gods, He's the God of them. He's over them. He's also telling us in the next verse of Scripture that He's the Lord of lords. If any person thinks they are a lord, or maybe they would be a lord, considered a lord upon this earth, then He is saying to them, I am the Lord of lords. I am everything. I am over everything. He's reminding us at the very beginning of this psalm who God is and how great and wonderful He is. And then we find also then in verse number 4, it says, To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. In other words, He's just simply telling us that He alone is the one that does wonderful and great things. He does this unaided by us. He does not need our help. We need His. He is all power. He wants our help. He wants us to be servants. He wants all of those things, but He does not need our help. He does everything. He is capable alone of doing all that needs to be done. And because of that, He is the one who should receive that unique praise that no one else or any other thing should ever receive. For He alone deserves the praise. Men may be important in our works and things that God allows us to do, but we're only important as far as He does the work. Without Him, we would do nothing. And we need to be reminded of that constantly. In fact, it was God alone who created. I don't ever remember God coming and asking me to help him. I'm quite sure he didn't ask you either. Amen. No, God did that alone. God alone did the work of redemption. He didn't need man's help. He did it. God alone. That's why he says to him who alone doeth great wonders. Him alone who doeth those things. You see, it was him alone, and I like this, who does the providential work in our lives. I love to watch God work and see how God has things all prepared and ready and in place. And it's God that does that. And he alone does that, you see. And I'm also thankful for the wonderful work of sanctification he does in our lives. After we get saved, he begins to work on our hearts and cleanse our lives and sanctify our lives. He alone can do that. None else can do that, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm also grateful that he alone is the one who will triumph over all evil. And he one day will come, although we will come with him, riding up on those horses. He alone will be the one that fights. He alone the one that will win the victory. So the Word of God is telling us it's God alone. Amen. He uses many things, but it's God alone. It's his power that does it. And we must always remember that. So he tells us then in verse 5, to him that by wisdom made the heavens. I'm always amazed at the fact that the scripture tells us that God spoke into existence all creation, and the worlds just spoke them into creation, to an existence. That's amazing me when I think about how great a God he is and how wonderful he is. And he didn't need anything. He didn't have one thing before that. He just spoke it into existence. Me and you want to make this pulpit, we got to go find us some wood. We got to find us something to try to manufacture it. But God does not do that. God spake and everything come into existence. He made the heavens. So he's great and he's a wonderful God. So the Bible also tells us there in verse 6, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. He's the reason we're on dry land today, folks. Amen. I mean, he's the reason. He put the dry land in places, put the seas and put boundaries on the seas and done all of those things. Oh, he's a powerful, wonderful God. And this psalm here is reminding us. And when you go through this psalm, I don't know whether you feel this way or not, maybe we haven't went through it all, but when you go through this psalm, it's just something to me that reminds me of my little problems are minute. With such a great and wonderful God, why am I worried about some of these little small problems that I worry and fret over? Having such a wonderful, great God who can do anything, you see. He made the heavens. He caused the land to appear and put the sea and contained it in places that he wanted to contain. God did those things. Now, I think if he did those things, he can handle our problems. Amen. He's great and he's a wonderful God. He tells us in verse number 7, to him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The Word of God tells us in the next two verses about the sun that God made. He made the moon and the stars. God hung them in place. You imagine that sun that we see every day, or most every day, we know it's there, may not see it every day, but we know it's there, and the moon that comes out of a night. I like looking at things like that. I called my wife to attention. I think it was last night. We was there at the house, and I looked out the window, and there was that big bright moon. I don't know whether it was a full moon or not, but it sure looked like it was awful full. And I said, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that one? It's a reminder of the greatness of God. And you look up at the multitude of stars that cannot be counted, and it reminds us of God. He said he made those two lights. In other words, he rules the day and the night. And you know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, God rules when there's times of joy in our life. God still rules. Most of us are very blessed to have great times of joy in our life. We have a lot to have joy over. Amen. But you know what? Night does come. And God still rules. God still knows what he's doing, folk. And God is still on the throne. When the hard and difficult times of life come, God is still on the throne. He rules the night of your life just as much as he rules the day of your life. And he always will, because he's God, you see. So the psalmist is saying his mercy endureth forever. He'll never change. He's always that away. That's who he is. That's what he'll always be. It'll never change. And then, of course, he told us in verse number 10, he says, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, it reminded me when I read that, he's talking about the mercy of God, and yet he smote the Egyptians, the firstborn of the Egyptians, and the next verse tells us that he did that for a reason. But I'm always reminded of how God deals with man. He deals with the lost, how he loves lost souls, how he wants them to be saved. And even Pharaoh and even Egypt, it should have been a call to them to repent and get right with God. It wasn't. They didn't listen. But for him, he would have been pleased if they had gotten right with God and trusted him. God is always ready to see a soul turn to him. What a marvelous thing it is. Of course, he said in the next verse, he says, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. He used all of that to bring Israel out from among them. Think about what God done. Think about how God brought Israel out from among them. Then go back to your life and think about how God brought you out from among them. Folks, do you realize the great power, the wonderful power of God that it took to bring us out and to turn our hearts toward the things of the Lord instead of the things of the world? You see, that's what he did to Egypt. He brought them out of the world. Egypt typifies the world. And he brought them out of Egypt, you see. And that's exactly what he does to us. He gives us eternal life, and that's what happened back in Egypt. The blood was on the doorposts, and of course that was a representative of the blood of Jesus Christ, and through that blood they was released, and they came out of Egypt, you see. But not only that, but God then continues to work in their hearts and deal with their hearts, you see. Thank God he not only saved us, but brought us out. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad I'm not sitting in some tavern drinking tonight. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad I'm here in a place that loves God and want to hear the Word of God. I'm glad I'm not out there in that world living for the world tonight. I'm very thankful for that. I'm grateful for that. And God brought us out. Amen. Just as he brought Israel out. And then, of course, we find in verse number 12, he says, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. I think about the strong hand and the outstretched hand of God. I think again, and I'll remind us again about the salvation, how God, by his strong hand and outstretched hand arm, brought us out, set our feet upon a rock and established our goings, took us out of the miry pit. Amen. Folks, you don't have anything else to be thankful for tonight. You can be thankful for that. Now, I know you do have, but you can be thankful for that. That ought to put a smile on a face, that God cared enough about us to save our souls, you see. And he did that with his strong hand and his outstretched arm, the power of God. Not only that, I'm thankful for the times of trouble that come into our life, and we get to see and the wonderful strong hand of God and the outstretched arm of God do something in our life when trouble comes our way. There's not a person here tonight that could not testify of some trouble that they've had in life, and God has moved upon their life and brought them out. Because that's who God is. And I'm very grateful. We have many people in this church tonight that could testify to the fact that God reached down with his strong arm and with his strong hand and outstretched arm and brought them out of sicknesses. Cora Wagner's sitting back here tonight. We prayed for her just the other Sunday night, and she thanked us for that prayer, and she's doing better, and she's coming along. She's here tonight. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good? And you know, person after person in this room could stand and testify of the goodness of God, how his strong hand, outstretched arm, brought them out of sickness. Over and over, we've seen it here at Blessed Hope. Amen? And it's a marvelous, wonderful thing what God does for us. You say, well, he did that for Israel, but he's doing that for us too. Over and over, just in a different way, he's doing that for us over and over and over. God can do it. Amen? Folks, just remember that. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care how hard it is. It makes no difference. God is able to do it. Amen? So keep that in mind. God brought Israel out. Then we find, he says in verse 13, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, it's an interesting thing that he talked about, that he brought them up to the Red Sea and he parted that Red Sea. Marvelous thing, and I'm glad he made a way for them, but I'm also glad he made a way for us. God made the way for us, folks. He parted all of that, what we would call the Red Seas of life. He parted all of that, and Jesus done the work so that we might be saved. Thank God for it. But he didn't just part the sea. He brought them through it. Look at verse number 14. He says, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. He didn't just stand there and have the sea parted and let them do no more. They didn't just stand there on the bank and wait. No, they passed through it. And when you've come to Christ, God made the way. And you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You pass through it. You're God's child now. Amen? What a blessing that is. And it's the same God that parted the sea. If he can part the sea, he can do anything. Amen? He can do anything that needs to be done. And I just might ask you right now, what is it? What is it that's a problem to you tonight? What Red Sea stands before you tonight? Do you know that God can part it and make a way? Yes, he can. Trust him. He's a wonderful God. And he tells us then in verse number 14, of course, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endure forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to tell you something. I'm very thankful for that verse of scripture. He says, oh, Pharaoh, he overthrew Pharaoh. I want to tell you, he's overthrowing Satan too. I just want to tell you tonight, Jesus has already won the victory. I think you probably had an inkling of that anyway, but Jesus won the victory. He overthrew Satan. He's a doomed being. He's done. Oh, I know he's still fighting the battles, but I know what the book says about the end of it. Amen, Brother Burr. We know what it says. And I know exactly what's going to happen to him. He's going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Amen. Because the Bible says that, see, and that's where he's going to spend. But I'm just simply saying to you, he has overcome him completely and fully. Just like God overthrew Pharaoh, God has overthrown Satan. He's a defeated foe. That's why I don't understand why folk want to stay on the side of Satan. He's defeated. He don't have a hope. No hope whatsoever. Why would anybody want to serve him? Why would anybody want to spend their life serving old Satan when we know he's a defeated foe? You see, God done that. So then in verse number 16, he says, to him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, again, I'm thankful. Did you realize that it is necessary from God's standpoint to take his people into the wilderness? Did you know it's necessary when you get saved that you go into the wilderness? Well, it's necessary. God does some wonderful things in the wilderness. He tries us in the wilderness. He tries your faith. He begins to deal with you and work with you. And he does some things in the wilderness that he won't do anywhere else. That's why God puts all of his people through wilderness times. He always does that, you see. You know what he's got to do? He's got to get us to the place where we understand something, that self can't make it. See, we are such a prideful people. We get to the place where we think we can live this Christian life ourselves. And God takes us into the wilderness to just show us it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. You and I cannot live the Christian life ourselves. We can't do it in our own power. Without him, we cannot do anything. And through the wilderness, he develops the graces of God in our life. And that's the way he does it. You know, patience bringeth tribulation bringeth patience. I sometimes wish it was the other way around. Tribulation bringeth patience. Have you had any tribulation? Has it helped you patient-wise? Has me. That's the wilderness journeys. That's why God takes you into the wilderness. He does some things there. He develops us there. And he leads his people. Thank God that even in the wilderness, he leads these people. He doesn't put us in the wilderness and leave us alone. He leads his people through the wilderness. He tells them exactly where they should go. If you go back into the Old Testament, you'll remember that he led them through the wilderness, told them what route to take, exactly where to go. Whether you understand it or not, he's doing that to you and me. He's guiding and directing us through the Holy Spirit of God. He shows us what route to go through the wilderness. He teaches us that he provides for us, that he always provides. His provisions is there. Don't you know in the wilderness they always had the manna? Even when they was disobedient, they had the manna. Don't you understand that God, even at times and difficult times and wilderness times, that God still provides for his people? He's teaching us to learn that he is the provider. Amen. So you don't learn those things other places. God takes you into the wilderness. And again, it's in the wilderness that he disciplines us. Disciplines us and teaches us. Amen. That's not bad, folks. Discipline is not bad. It's good. It's what God does for us, not to us. And at the same time, in the wilderness, he teaches us that he's our protector. Even in the wilderness, God protected his people. Amen. I'm just simply saying to you, God takes all of his people into the wilderness. And if you're not there yet, maybe newly saved, you'll be there, I'm sure. And you'll probably be there for a while. Because God teaches in the wilderness, you see. So thank God for that. He said in verse 16, to him which led his people through the wilderness for his mercy endureth forever. And I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful that he gets us through it. He not only leads us in the wilderness and does all those things for us, but he gets us through it. He gets us out on the other side, you see. So be thankful for the great and wonderful God. His mercy endureth forever. In verse number 17, talks about his power in that he smote some great kings. He said to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And he slew famous kings. And then he names a couple of those kings there that he slew. Now, I want to just say this to you. You have three enemies. You have the world, and you have the flesh, and you have the devil. That is your enemies. According to the scriptures, them's your enemies. Now, what I want you to know is that Jesus has already defeated all of them. Yes, he has. I know you have trouble with the flesh. I don't know of an individual don't. But Jesus has already won the victory. He's already slew it. The world is a problem. The world and all its draw is a problem. But Jesus has overcome the world. And Jesus has already overcome and slew the devil. All of our enemies. Jesus has already done it. Now he's asking us to use his power to do that in our life. Amen. Do that in your life. Let God, who has done all of these wonderful things, he's already slew all of these enemies of ours. He's already done that, you see. Now he's saying to us, let my power do that in your life. Amen. And then, of course, in verse number 21, he says, and gave their land for an heritage, and for his mercy endureth forever. We'll read verse number 22, even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to turn over to 1 Peter for just a moment. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And he tells us here in verse 21 back in Psalms, he says that he gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. And I realize the truth of this you already understand. If you're a Christian, you already understand that you have heaven as your home. That's a promise of God. 1 Peter will certainly help you. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope." I want you to know it is not a dead hope. It is a live hope. And he says, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It was through his death and burial and resurrection that this lively hope has come about, that we have it. And then he says, "to an inheritance." It's our inheritance that he gives us, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It is reserved in heaven. It is yours. It's the promise of God. And he says, "I have that inheritance for you." Now, folks, listen, I think you understand this, but we're talking about God's people. We're talking about those born again, talking about those who have received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. See, you must be born again before you can have this inheritance. You must be a saved person, you see. You must be washed in the blood. And I think you understand that, but you have to have that. You have to be washed in the blood before you can have this inheritance. But God says that inheritance, it will not fade away. Impossible for it to go away. It's reserved in heaven for you. I have a reservation in heaven. God reserved it for me. Nothing can do away with that reservation. And if you're saved, nothing can do away with yours. It's reserved. It's sealed. It's already accomplished. And then he says, "who are kept by the power of man." No? Kept by the power of God. Amen? He keeps us by his power. Amen? It's his power. And he says, "through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I like this next verse. It's a verse that means a lot to me. But he says, "wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." I don't remember whether I've preached that message here or not, but I preach a message which I've entitled, "The Need Be's of Life." Now, I don't know whether I've preached it here. I can't remember all of those things. But anyway, the need be's of life. You know, God says, "wherein greatly rejoice through now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation." There's just times when God allows things to come upon our life that are need be's. They're just need-bes. You may not understand them. You may not understand why they're need-bes, but they're need-bes. They're necessary, is what he's saying. They're necessary for us. God does that, and he's doing a wonderful work in our life, and sometimes he has to put us through need-bes. Certain things that come in our life, manifold temptations that come in our life, trials coming in our life, he says they're just need-bes. That's all. So what he's telling us is, back here, as he gave the inheritance to Israel, the land of Israel, to Israel, he also now gives us an inheritance. We have an inheritance in heaven. Folks, no matter what happens down here, you've got an inheritance. If you're a child of God, you have an inheritance. You've got a promise of God Almighty. It's reserved in heaven for you personally. Amen? And then, of course, he tells us in verse number 23, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endured forever. And he wants us to look back and remember from whence we came. What were we before he saved us? He remembered us in our low estate. He remembered us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Amen. That's a marvelous thing. Folks, that ought to make us all get up and jump up and down and say hallelujah. Praise God for what he's done. We didn't deserve salvation. Not a person in here deserved it. Amen. Not one person. No, God done that because he loved us. It was God that loved us. And we ought to remember the lowest state we was in when God saved us. Amen. Ought never forget that. God brought us up out of that old horrible pit. Set our feet upon a rock, as we said earlier. Established our going, see. Put a new song in our mouth. See, God does those things for us. Amen. And he done that. We was down in the old pit. God lifted us up, you see. Brought us out of the lowest state. Now, folks, don't ever forget from whence we come. Amen. We don't want to go back and live there, but don't ever forget from where God brought us. Amen. And then we also find in verse number 24, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Do not ever forget the redemption that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a marvelous thing it is, that wonderful redemption. He bought you. He paid for you. Do you understand? You don't belong to you. Jesus Christ owns you. He can do whatever he wishes. Whatever his pleasure is, he can do it. We're redeemed, we're bought with a great price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he tells us in verse number 25, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. And thank God, I think most of us will probably get a little more than our share tomorrow. But he giveth food to all flesh, the goodness of God. And I notice that because it's not just even a personal thing here. It's not just saying to human beings. He's saying to all flesh. God giveth food. God's the one that takes care of all those things. He feeds the birds by the millions, probably the billions. He feeds them, takes care of them. God does all of that, you see. He's great. He's a wonderful God. And then he tells us, oh, give thanks, he says, unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Once again, at the end of this psalm, he says, give thanks to him. All the things that we've been reminded of, and we've just skimmed through it. But all the things that we are reminded of, God at the end of that psalm says, give thanks unto him. Folks, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a wonderful God who loves us, cares for us, and we owe him our thanks and our praise. Let me remind you, no matter what problem you may have, what trouble you may be going through, thank God for his goodness and all he is. And he is powerful. He can do anything that he needs to do. Amen. Whatever it is, whatever that great thing that stands between you and your complete dedication to God, God is great. He can do anything that needs to be done. Maybe a problem that is facing you that is almost insurmountable. Not with God it isn't. He can do it. Amen. So what do? Well, we give thanks unto his wonderful name. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray in a moment, and just want to ask you to, during the time of prayer and during this time of invitation, if there's a need in your heart that you'd like to bring to an altar prayer, we invite you to come. Should you be here tonight and you say, Brother Ross, I do not know 100% sure that I'm saved, that I'm ready for heaven, I just got good news for you. God loves you and wants to save you. You tonight can seek his help, the one who we've been talking about, the great and wonderful God whose mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Father, I do thank you so much for the wonderful grace of God. And I'm so thankful that you love us and care for us. And I'm thankful for the reminder tonight in your word about your greatness and the endurance of your mercy. And that it's our responsibility to praise you and thank you for all that you've done. Lord, help us to have that kind of heart. In Jesus' name, amen.